George Shakut Hsuqua. Sie axisch tlis abt. Adam, Muchis atlish. Tlach hui, tsaki tsachish. Hayuchis atluk. Asitsumsh. We're almost at the end of July. Today is July 30th. Today is the first day of our second trio of summer weekends. And today we're beginning Unit 14, which is called Talking to Elders, or Ochunkaichum. In this unit, we will be learning how to stay in immersion and support immersion. Some of you have been part of immersion activities where you've spoken only Nuchanal for a few minutes at a time, or even for a few hours at a time. That is exactly the kind of practice we all need in order to eventually become fluent speakers of the language, but it can be very challenging to maintain immersion. One difficulty with maintaining immersion is just that you can't really stay in a language without knowing a certain amount. There's kind of a critical mass of language you need to be able to function in an immersion environment. But there are also many strategies that one can learn to support immersion, including special phrases and strategies. And that is what this unit will be about. In particular, although there's quite a few conversations in this unit, as you'll see, there are six bulky conversations. I'm going to single out four key sentences that I call lifelines, which I have found to be four of the most useful sentences to use to stay in immersion. Some of you are intermediate or advanced learners. Some of you are already mentoring other learners. And one of the other things that this unit will share with you is some strategies for supporting other learners, in particular learners who don't speak as well as you do. What can you do to support them? I'll start by going through the words for this unit. Our first word is a question word, aqichla. Aqichla. We use this in the question, aqichlah. What is it called? Aqichlah. This is the inanimate version of the question you already know, achaklah. What is his or her name? Achaklah. What is his or her name? Aqichlah. What is it called? The indirect form of this indefinite is quichla. Hayum hes quichlayi. I don't know what it's called. Quichla. Another question word, a'aku. A'aku means saying what. We'll use it in the question, a'akuk. What are you saying? A'akuk. Notice that a'kichla and a'aku have the same root, which is a'ki, meaning what. The indirect version of a'ki is quick, as in quichla. We're going to be using several different verbs for speaking and saying. First, wa. Wa. To say. Wa wa. Wa wa. Saying is the continuous aspect version. These two words form an aspect pair. Wa, say and be done. Complete aspect. Wa wa. Saying. Without beginning or end, continuous aspect. Tsik tsika. Tsik tsika. Speaking. If you're pronouncing tsik tsika properly, there should be a deformation of the vowel because of the Q. Tsik tsika. If you don't deform the vowel and pronounce K's instead, tsik tsika. That is also a word, but it means rocking. Tsik tsika with K's means rocking. Tsik tsika with Q's means speaking. I occasionally hear people mix up the words tsik tsika and wa, but these are used very distinctly. We translate tsik tsika with the English word speaking, because it is intransitive. It's a one participant verb. Tsiktsika describes a person who is speaking, period. Whereas wa and wawa are quotative verbs. They introduce a quotation. Adam said blah blah blah. Adam is saying blah blah blah. So wa and wawa are transitive, that is, two participant verbs. Ko ko atsa is one way to say speaking new channels. Ko ko atsa. Literally, this means talking like an Indian. Ko ko atsa. It's related to the word ko us, which you've learned. Ko us means person or Indian. Ko ko atsa, talking like an Indian. In other words, speaking new channels or any Aboriginal language. Another way to say speaking new channels is tsik tsikasa. Tsik tsikasa. This is formed from the word tsik tsika, speaking, plus the ending sa, which means is an intensifier. It means talking the real way, talking the proper way, the right way, that is, by speaking Nuchanov. Generally, we hear Kokoatsa more in the south and Tsik Tsikasa more in the central and northern regions. But most dialects use both can use either word, as far as I know. For speaking English, most people say ma ma masnika. Ma ma masnika. Speaking English, literally talking like a white person. Or even more literally, talking like a person who lives in a floating house on the ocean. Another word that only a minority of elders use for speaking English is e-e-nisha. E-e-nisha. This comes from a New Chanoth pronunciation of the word English. By far, the most common word that one hears for speaking English is ma ma masnika. E-e-nisha is used by only a few elders, but one of them is Julia Lucas, who is a very important mentor to several of us. If you look at these words for speaking languages, you'll notice that they're all repetitive. Tsik tsika, ko ko atsa, tsik tsikasa, ma ma masnika, i inisha. They're all in the repetitive aspect. Repetitive aspect forms are easily recognizable because they involve reduplication and lengthening. This is a common pattern in Nuchanoth that's used to mean speaking a language. To form a verb that means speaking a language, you take the noun that refers to the people who speak it, and then you make a repetitive form from that. So, for example, white person is mamasni. The repetitive form of that, ma mamasnika, means speaking like a white person. In other words, speaking English. Ko us means person or Indian. The repetitive form of that, ko ko atsa, means speaking Indian, speaking Nuchanoth. Nana'a. Nana'a. Understanding. If you know the word na'a, to hear, you'll notice that nana'a and na'a have the same root. Nana'a is just reduplicated. As a result, because of the similarity between these words, people often mix them up. They're similar in form, but have completely different meanings. The unreduplicated word na'a means hearing. Na'a. The reduplicated word nana'a means understanding. Nana'a. The word na'a, to hear, has a special negative form, which is wik'ap. And the reduplicated form of this word is happens to be the opposite of nana'a. Wik'ap means not understanding. So there's actually a small word family here, and knowing all four forms can help you understand and remember the other forms. Hearing is na'a, not hearing, wik'ap. Understanding, nana'a. Not understanding, we wik'ap. So the words for understanding are reduplicated versions of the words for hearing. Normally, I like to draw a diagram of that we can all look at because I find the diagram really helps me grasp it. Unfortunately, since we're not in the same place, I can't do that at the moment. Ho tuck. Ho tuck is one of the words for knowing. There's quite a few different words for knowing, which are used in different contexts. We won't go too much into it here, but eventually we'll need to have a careful discussion of that, of different words for knowing. Another word for knowing is atik. Atik. In central dialect, the dialect that we're looking at right now, hohtak means to know a fact or to know a person. Atik means to know how to do something. Confusingly, this is quite different from dialect to dialect. In Barkly Sound dialects, the word for knowing how to do something is hohtak. Atik means to be skilled in Barkly Sound dialects. So the precise meanings of these words will depend in part on which dialect you're speaking. Ha hopa. Ha hopa means teaching. But there's an important difference between ha hopa and the other common word for teaching, which is hoh taksheh up, which most of you have heard. Hoh taksheh up is the generic word for teaching. It means any kind of teaching. Ha hopa is a special kind of teaching. It's the way that grandparents and other elders educate their grandchildren and other young people. So ha hopa means passing on important cultural knowledge to younger generations. Someone who has been taught, who has been trained, is described as ha hopchu. Ha hopchu. Here's another positive negative pair: upschik, wixchik. Upschik means going in the right way, going in the right direction. But it's also used for me to mean speaking correctly, saying the right things. And that's how we're going to be using it in this unit. Am I speaking the right things? Am I saying it right? When we say that in Nuchanoth, literally we're saying, am I going the right way? This word means both. Going the right way, saying the right things. Upschik. Its opposite is wixchik. Going the wrong way, saying the wrong things. Not talking right. Wixchik. I've given you some words for remember because one of the sentences in this unit is thank you for reminding me. So I've given you three different forms of the word for remember. I'll go through the forms and then I'll give you some tips on how to use these words. Clue. Clue is one of the shortest verbs in Nuchanoth. It means recalling. It's sometimes translated as remember, but it doesn't really mean the same thing as the English word remember. Clue means recalling, and it's in the continuous aspect. Its complete aspect form is cluchik. Cluchik. Cluchik means to recall something. It comes into your mind. Its causative form is cluyap. Cluyap. This means to make someone else recall something. In other words, to remind them. The main tip I want to share with you about these words, clue, clue, chick, clue, yop, is that English learners tend to translate them as remember, but they do not mean the same thing as remember in English. That's because remembering, the English word remember describes a situation where I have some information in my head and it's kind of sitting there. That's what I mean when I say I remember it. I mean it's that knowledge is sitting there. But when I say klusish in Nuchanal, klusish, I don't mean I have knowledge sitting in my head. What I mean is I'm actively recalling something. I'm really thinking about it. So that's why I've translated klu as recalling rather than as remember. If that's not clear, don't worry about it. We will come back to it at another time. Next are a couple of words for proud. We're going to be using these in order to encourage other learners by telling them, you make me proud. One of the words for proud is nuchhak. Nuchhak. This can mean proud or happy. It describes a proud, happy feeling. So it neither means the same thing as the English word proud, nor as the English word happy, but rather some combination of both. The other word that one hears for proud is kutuk. Kutuk. Kutuk is used more in the north, Nunchuk more in the south, but central dialects can use both words. They don't mean the same thing as each other, and neither one means the same thing as the English word proud. So understanding exactly what these words mean will be a challenge, and we'll talk about it again. Huas. Huas. Again. Clus clusa. Clus clusa means slow and also slowly. We saw this morning how the adjective clus, which means good or beautiful, can also be used as an adverb meaning well. Similarly, clus clusa is an adjective meaning slow, and it can also be used as an adverb meaning slowly. We'll be using it as in the sentence, please speak slowly. Tlusatuk. Tlusatuk. Sounding good. This has the root tlus and the ending atuk, which refers to sound. That's the end of our words. Do we have any other clarification questions about the words for this unit so far? I'm going to give you a quick overview of the conversations. You'll find that this unit's conversations are quite long and dense. There's a lot of information here. So I'm going to start with an overview, and over the next few days, we're going to practice different bits of these conversations. There are six conversations total in this unit. The first two conversations are for beginners who are just trying to stay in the language. It can be a real struggle when you barely speak the language to stay in an immersion situation. For one thing, you don't know enough words. You don't know how to say what you want to say. Also, when you're surrounded by a second language and you're not allowed to speak your native language, people typically panic. I usually describe that as a deer in the headlights feeling. I think we've all experienced that when someone says something to us in a second language that we don't understand. We all kind of go. We get that panicky deer in the headlights feeling. The sentences that we will be learning in this unit, and in particular the lifelines that I'm going to get you to memorize, are going to help you out when you get in that situation. Your goal with these lifelines is to memorize them well enough so that even when you are in a stressful immersion situation, you are able to find those lifelines. These first two conversations are specifically for that situation. When you're a beginner and you are barely understand what's being said around you, these are some things that you can use to stay in the conversation. Conversation one gives you things to tell people who speak better than you, like say it again, speak slowly. Am I saying it right? These are things that weaker speakers tend to want to say to stronger speakers. Conversation two allows you to learn about the language using the language. It gives us questions like, what is it called? How do I say blah, blah, blah? Because once you know how to ask these things in Nunchaknoth, you can learn the language in the language. You don't have to go back to English to learn new words. Conversations three through six are for advanced learners, especially advanced learners who are ready to help other people stay in immersion. Conversation three gives you some sentences to use to tell other people to speak Nunchaknoth and stop speaking English. You're going to need these phrases if you're ever facilitating an immersion session, because people are going to switch back to English and you're going to have to remind them. Conversation four gives you some things to say when you're trying to have a conversation, the conversation is starting to fail, and you're the stronger speaker. One of the best things to ask in that situation is, what are you saying? What are you trying to say? And sometimes people are then able to explain what they're trying to say without going back to English. That's what conversation four is for. Conversation five is for talking about understanding. Conversation five is when the immersion conversation is starting to fail. You were not understanding each other, or the weaker speaker is not understanding the stronger speaker. In that case, the stronger speaker will want to say something like, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" And at some point, the weaker speaker might have to admit, "I do not understand what you're saying." Conversation five also gives you a couple of ways to gracefully exit a conversation that's failing. There's a single word that I use for I pass, which is wikupis, and I will have more to say about this word. This is one of your most important lifelines. When you need to bail from a conversation, you can use wikupis, I pass. Some other ways to gracefully exit a immersion conversation are I can't, witmaksish, or let's take a break, huksatuinchani. Last, conversation six is encouragements. You'll notice that there are only A sentences in conversation six. These are for a stronger speaker or a mentor or an elder to use with a weaker speaker or a learner. So when someone does something well and you want to say something encouraging, these are some things you can say. Good for you. Tlah atlitsk. Tlah atlitsk. You sound good. Tlathatuk itsk. Tlathatuk itsk. You got it. Atsikshiatlitsk. Atsikshiatlitsk. You get it now. Nana ichi atlitsk. Nana ichi atlitsk. You have made me proud. Nuch haksap itsksichil. Nuch haksap itsksichil. You have been properly taught. Chamehta itskha hopchu. Chamehta itskha hopchu. These are arranged roughly from most informal and familiar to most formal and serious. So, tlah atlitsk. You've already heard us say this many times over the course of this this class so far. Tlahatlitsk, we say all the time. If you're a teacher, you've said this many, many times. Tlahatlitsk is our default expression for good for you, our default encouragement. Though encouragements towards the end, nuchhaksap itsksichit, you have made me proud. Jamehta itskha hopchu, you have been properly taught. These are quite serious big compliments. The last one, chamehta itzka hopchu. I hear that when a young person has done something big and they've done it right and an elder wants to compliment them, this is one of the highest compliments they can give them. Chamehta itzka hopchu. You have been properly taught. If you look at the bottom of the second page, there's a paragraph explaining some things about the phrase wikupis. This is necessary because of what this phrase means and how we're using it. In language class, we use wikupis basically to mean I pass. It means I can't do this, or I've had enough, I need to step back for a second, I pass. Wikupis. Literally, wikupis means let me not, or don't make me. Wikupis. It's just wik, which means not, plus up, which is the causative ending, plus the command ending is, which means you do to me. In other words, don't make me do it. Let me not. Wikupis. Some elders don't like this use of wikupis because in normal speech, outside of language class, wikupis is a fairly strong refusal. It's polite, but quite strong. I was talking to Bob about it on Monday. That is Bob Mundy, fluent Euclid speaker. I asked him, when would you say wikupis? He said, if someone was feeding me, but they give me some food I'm very allergic to, then I might need to say, I can't eat this food. Please let me not do it. That's a situation where politeness requires that you eat the food, but that you have a very serious reason for not wanting to do it. And that's normally the kind of situation where people would say this, wikupis. So it is a strong but polite refusal. The way we are using it in language class to mean I pass is therefore a little non-traditional. But it is the best word that I've found for I pass because it is really short and pretty easy to say. The alternatives, like Wipmocks, sound more natural to fluent speakers, but they're really hard for beginners to say. Most beginners cannot pronounce Wipmocks, but they can pronounce Wickupis. That is why I use Wickupis in this way in the language classroom. But you should be aware that outside of the language classroom, it has a different tone. In the current written version of this unit, I've given you just one exercise, which has to do with what I call the four lifelines. So out of these six long conversations that we just looked at, there's four sentences in particular that I have found extremely useful in immersion situations. And they are, first, what are you saying? Which in central dialect is a-a-kok. A-a-kok. What are you saying? The second lifeline is say it again. Huas iwa. Huas iwa. The third lifeline is wiwikupsutih. I don't understand you. Wiwikupsutih. The fourth lifeline is wikupis. Wikupis. Before you spend time working on these conversations, you should memorize these four lifelines. You will find these extremely useful when you're trying to have a Nunchaknoth conversation with someone. Their order is also important. A-a-kuk, what are you saying, is the first one because it's the first one that you should reach for. If you're in a conversation, you're having a little trouble keeping up, you're not sure what the other person has said, it's a perfectly natural thing to say, a-a-kuk, what are you saying? And that basically tells them, I need you to explain yourself a little bit more. Say it again. If that doesn't work, you can reach for lifeline number two, which is say it again. Huas iwa. Huas iwa. All of you who are experienced learners of Nunchaknoth have used this sentence hundreds or thousands of times. It's one of the most common ones we use. Huas iwa. Say it again. Eventually, you might get to the point where you realize you cannot keep up with this conversation. It's too far beyond you. Or there's a particular word that you don't get, and we're going to need to have a conversation about it in English. That's when it's time to admit, wiwikupsutih. I don't understand you. Wiwikupsutih. And we all eventually get to the point where our brain is full, we're starting to panic, and we can't do the immersion anymore. In that case, you should reach for wikupis. Let me not. In language class, when we hear wikupis, we understand that to mean let me not do this. I need to step back. I need to take a break. So those lifelines, one more time, are a-a-kuk. What are you saying? Huas iwa. Say it again. Wiwikupsutih. I don't understand you. Wikupis. Let me not. Don't make me. There's a simple exercise that I recommend you spend some time practicing with a partner. And it's a simple exercise that will help you learn these lifelines so that when you need them, they'll be there ready for you. That is the end of my brief introduction to Unit 14, Talking to Elders. I'll take a few minutes here to for questions and debriefing. We just had a question. Let's say we're setting up an immersion activity, and I want to say in Nunchaknoth, I'm the teacher, you're the learner. I'm teaching, you're learning. The first way that occurs to me to say that would be Sityaka hohtakshihap. I'm the one teaching. Sityaka hohtakshihap. Sutwaka it's hohtakshih. You're the one learning. Sutwaka it's hohtakshih. Notice that in English, it feels natural to use nouns. Teacher and learner are nouns. But in Nunchaknoth, it's more natural to use verbs. I'm the one teaching, you're the one learning. Teacher is one of the words that's difficult to translate into Nunchaknoth. There is no one accepted word for teacher in Nunchaknoth. Instead, we usually want to use the verb teaching. So whenever you want to say teacher in Nunchaknoth, probably what you really want to say is a sentence involving the word hohtakshihap. which is a verb meaning teaching. Ju, takums. We have a good question from Josh about the sentence Nuch haksup its ksichich, which I've translated as "You have made me proud." Nuch haksup its ksichich. Josh was trying out different ways of saying it. He changed the mood. Nuch haksup su ksichich. He changed the aspect. Nuch hak up its ksichich. And those are both meaningful changes that we might want to do at different times. So let's start with your main question was, what is that S in Nuchaksap Itzksichit? That S is the same as the S wedge of Shik, and it's marking aspect. It's marking the difference between "you make me proud" without beginning or end, continuous aspect, versus "you have made me proud and now you're done with that," which is complete aspect. So the simpler sentence would be Nuch hak up its ksichich. Nuch hak up its ksichich. That means "you are making me proud without beginning or end." And that is something that we would want to say sometimes. But this sentence is meant to be used in a classroom situation where someone has just done something right, and it's done now. So we want complete aspect. Nuch hak sup its ksichich. You have made me happy. I think it'll be clear if we build this word from the ground up. The word by alone is nuchhak, nuchhak being proud or happy. Nuchhak shik means to start being proud or happy. Nuchhak sup means to make someone start being proud or happy. Nuchhak sup itzk, you have made him or her proud or happy. Nuchhak sup itzk sichich, you have made me proud or happy. Does that make sense now what that S is doing? And then your other change was to change itzk to suk. You said nuch haksap suk sichich, which also means you have made me happy. But because you're using the neutral mood there, that sounds like it's a continuation of something else you were saying. Like it follows closely on something that came before. I'll just share a couple more comments about conversations 1 and 2, and then we'll say goodbye for the day. I think conversation 1 is pretty straightforward. I think you'll know when to use these lifelines. Huas iwa, say it again. Please speak slowly. Ups chikas, am I saying it right? These are things that will help a beginner keep their head above water while they're trying to speak only in Nuchanal. Conversation 2 has some sentences that are a little more complicated. Conversation 2 includes a couple of important questions for learning new words. When you want to know the word for something that you don't know yet, one of the ways to ask for it is a kitchlah. What is it called? So let's say I don't know or I've forgotten the word for drinking glass. I might say a kitchlah drinking glass. What is a drinking glass called? A kitchlah drinking glass. If it's not an object with a name, but something more complicated, like, for example, say I need to know how to say, may I use the washroom? And I've forgotten how to say it. In that case, what I want is a-a-ku-a-t-a-l. A-a-ku-a-t-a-l means, how does one say it habitually? A-a-ku-a-t-a-l, may I go to the washroom? This is a formula that all of you experienced learners are very familiar with, because you're always wanting to ask about new words, and you've learned that you've learned this frame as a way of asking about things that you don't know how to say yet. As a result, we have a lot of learners, including beginning learners, who are using this complicated sentence. I consider a quite complicated one-word sentence. And most beginners memorize it to begin with without really understanding how the sentence is put together. Once you've reached this point in the course, though, that is Unit 14, which is technically in Year 2, you know enough to understand how this sentence is put together. I just want to take a minute to build it with you to help those of you who have not yet grasped this sentence to start to see what it actually means. The root is aki, meaning what? Aki. When we add the ending to say to that, we get a'aku, saying what? A'aku. The next ending is the passive ending, a'aku at. A'aku at means to be said. It is said. A'aku at. Next, we have question mood, a'aku at. Now that's a complete sentence. A'aku at means what is being said. A'aku at. Then the next ending is the habitual ending, ah. A'aku at ah. What is habitually said? In other words, how does one usually say blah blah blah? Let's build that one more time. Aki, a'aku, a'aku at, a'aku at, a'aku at ah. How does one say blah blah blah? If you're studying a dialect other than a Hausa Tloquit, then your homework is to build that in whatever dialect you're learning.